My name is Al Morse, and today we're got another study, and we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians. So just turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to be there, and we're going to have a verse-by-verse study of this epistle that Paul wrote, this letter to the 2 Thessalonians, or to the Thessalonians. This was written not too far after his first epistle to them. And these people were just wonderful as far as Paul was concerned, and me too. I mean, they truly believed the gospel, and they were truly people who weren't ashamed of the gospel, because they had been involved in many throughout the whole area that they lived in spreading this gospel to those people. These people were in abject paganism. They were immoral. They were everything that you can't comprehend. But after just 4 weeks, Paul went down there with them and literally it changed their lives. And they listened, and they learned more, like I told it before, in 4 weeks than I learned in a lifetime. And it's just fantastic. It truly is. It's just fantastic. And I just, this is just a wonderful, wonderful epistle. So we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers out. We're going to go verse by verse through this. It starts off in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul and Silas, I call it Silas, and Timothy, unto the church there in Thessalonica, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2 it says, grace unto you. Now, you've heard me talk about grace before, but I'll never quit talking about it, because this is the difference between the gospel for the Gentile and the gospel that Jesus preached. See, Jesus didn't preach the grace of God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, that he was the Messiah, see. And if they just believed that he was the Messiah, see, believed in him, they would be saved, see. They were talking only to Jews at that time. But the grace is based on Paul's gospel, the gospel of grace. And this gospel is based on everything is done by God and nothing by us. It means unmerited favor. He has done everything, and all he asks to do, us to do, is believe what he did. And that's he died on the cross. And he died on the cross, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And he said, when you believe that, that's when you're saved, see. That's when you're saved, and it's also when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, or sealed with the Holy Spirit. So grace is tremendously important. A person asks me, what must I do to be saved? Well, I just tell them, there's nothing you can do to be saved, because Jesus did it all, and all you have to do is believe it. It's just that simple. Jesus did it all on that cross. He paid for every sin of mankind from Adam till the last person on this earth. Everyone. And without him doing that, no one could go to heaven. I'll give you an example. I know I'm rambling, but this is neat. Think about this. Let's turn to. I wasn't going to do that, but God just all of a sudden put it in my mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and this is a tremendous verse. It says in chapter 5, verses 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Think about that, what he's talking about. If one died for all, that means all were dead. So that would mean that from Adam all the way up to Jesus, see, all the old patriarchs, every one of them, we're talking about Adam himself and Abel, and we're talking about Noah, and we're talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his 12 sons, see. We're talking about all the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, every one of them, Jeremiah, and the kings, David, you know, and Solomon and others that were believers. When they died, you see, what happened? They were buried, and their souls went to heaven. No, they didn't go to heaven. They didn't go to heaven. They went to paradise. You see, they couldn't go to heaven because Jesus hadn't paid the sin debt for them. Every one of them were sinners just like we are, and they were counted righteous because they believed God, not believed in God. They believed God. See, they were counted righteous because they believed in God, or believed God. See, and that's how we're saved. Really, we're saved because we believe Jesus, and Jesus told us to believe the gospel. And when we believe that the gospel is that He died on that cross to pay for our sins, see, and that He was buried and rose from the dead, and we believe that, we're saved. And that's what we're told by Jesus to do. So we believe God and we're saved. And it's just that. So, what happened? See, so when Jesus died on that cross, He was buried. And what those days, and it was 3 days in that tomb, His soul and spirit went to paradise. And He told all those Old Testament believers that. He told them that their sin debt has been paid. And then He was able to, and they believed it. And they took them all to heaven. And so now there's no such thing as paradise. See, when a person dies, he either goes to heaven or he goes to hell now, because Christ has made a way for everybody to go to heaven. And all He's asking you to do is believe what He did on that cross, that He died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose from the dead. When you believe that, that's salvation. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Let's turn back to the text. Turn back to the text. 2 Thessalonians. And just look at... So, that's grace. See, that is grace. He did it all. We did nothing. He did it all. All we got to do is believe what He did. And of course, it goes on and says peace. And you know, I've talked about peace. You see, we have peace with God now because we believe the gospel. Because when God looks at me, He sees this person that their sins have been paid for. We accepted Christ's death on that cross to pay for our sins. And when we did that, we became heirs of God. Joint heirs of God. Just look at this. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. God just keeps putting these things in my mind, and it's just wonderful. Romans chapter 8. And just look what happens to us when we believe this gospel. And when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. Let's look at it. Let's look at verses 14. Romans 8:14. It says, "For many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." And look at 16. "And the Spirit Himself bear witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God." And if verse 17, "And if children, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." Think about that. Think how, just because we believe the gospel, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and because we have the Holy Spirit, that sanctifies us, and then we can be sons of God. And if we're sons of God, we're children of God. And if we're children of God, we're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I didn't say that. The book said that. And think about this. Think about this. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians, back to the right. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. And look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. What did I just say? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Look at this. And it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. It says, "For by Him, Jesus, we were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." And we're joint heirs with Him. Everything was created by Him and for Him. And now, because we believe the gospel, we just believe the gospel, see? Nothing else. We become joint heirs with Christ. That just blows my mind. I mean, I just can't even comprehend that. I can't even comprehend that. And this is what we see when we believe the gospel. And when we have peace with God. See, when we have peace with God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that is just magnificent. And guess what? We didn't do one thing to deserve it. All we did was believe God. God told us to believe the gospel, and we did. See? And we did. He told us to believe the gospel, and we did. Okay, let's go to verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abound." I can't overestimate the when they're talking about love. There is nothing more important for believers to have love. And the only way you can have love, you have to have the Holy Spirit. And we make mistakes, but this is one thing we don't want to ever make mistake in. We always want to love each other, no matter what our failures are. Nobody's perfect, especially the young believers. We've got to love them and help them and strengthen them and just be wonderful friends to them. And even if they stumble, we're to be there to help them, see. And it's just tremendously important to do that. And that's what, and so this love that they had, they said, toward each other abound, and they loved each other. And that's an example for us. I don't care what they've done. If they're a believer, we got to be there with them in love and help them and draw them closer to God. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecution and tribulation that you endure. You see, these people were having problems. There's no doubt about that. You see, they were in abject paganism when he came. That means they were involved in all the pagan rituals, all the pagan worship, all the immoral activities of the ancient Greece. And when Paul came in there, he just turned everything around. But what happened? They had pulled clear out of their regular society that they lived in, see. They had walked away from that. And those people, they were making a living off of these people back and forth, you know. They walked with them, and they were, you know, and all of a sudden they had nothing in common. And these people were upset, you know, and it caused them persecution. And they had to endure that. And not only persecution from their own people, the Gentiles, they were being persecuted also by the Jews because of their jealousy. They just couldn't see these people becoming believers and have the same God that they had, and all we have to do is believe. It just made them hopping mad. And they just hated Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, because they hated Gentiles. And they just persecuted them unmercifully. And they did that all the time. You see, these were people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But they said, no, you can't be saved. You're not a Jew. You're not circumcised. You don't keep the law. You don't keep the feast days. You know, you don't keep the Sabbath. You don't do nothing. All you do is just believe. And they just couldn't understand that. And they caused lots of persecution for these Thessalonian believers. See? Verse 5, it says, "It is a manifest token of righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." You know, when you suffer for Christ, it makes a tremendous difference down the world. You know, when you stand up and you suffer for Christ, He will make the difference down the road. There's no ifs and buts about it. It's going to be wonderful, because He never, never will not see the suffering that you go through in order to promote the gospel. People don't like me. They really don't. You know, they're upset. I tell them right to their face, you're not saved by believing in Jesus as your Savior. They can't handle that. Even though I can show them beyond a shadow of a doubt, they won't listen. And I said, well, it's not me telling you. Read what the book says. And they don't read the book. They don't read the book. What do you think the percentage is of people that go to church today, even the ones that go every Sunday, that they actually, when they get home, they open up the Bible and read it? I'll bet you there's less than 5% of all of them. That Bible sits there and draws dust. They're not even concerned about you. They go to church because they think they have to in order to be saved. And when they walk out of that church, whether they listened or not, they say, well, Lord, you owe me. I was there. So-and-so, he's not in church today, but I was there. Well, he might as well not have been. Number one was he's not saved. The preacher's not saved. And so it's the blind leading the blind. And they don't, none of them get in the book. Because if they got in the book, they'd see the same thing I did. But they won't do it. They will not do it. They will just bypass Paul's writings totally. And he has the only writings in this Bible that concerns the body of Christ, the Gentile. There's no other writings here. Everything else is pointed to the Jews. Everything else is pointed to the Jew. But this is pointed to us, and they ignore it. 95% of all the sermons that are preached every Sunday are preached on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're preaching to Gentiles, and there's not a one of those people. One of those people that preach that, there's nothing in there for salvation for you and me. There's nothing in there for us. Oh, sure, it's good for our learning. There's no doubt about it. We want to know about Jesus' walk. But you see, that is not salvation. Our salvation is the gospel, and it's given to us by Jesus for our salvation. So, look what happens now. Seeing, look on verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You can be assured without any shadow of a doubt that these people who trouble you, they're gonna see some problems down the road. They're going to see some problems, and the person who's going to cause them is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, and to you, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When do you think that's going to be? When do you think that's going to be? That's going to be, as far as I can see, it's going to be right at the end of the tribulation when God comes back with his saints. We'll be with him. We'll see all this happen. But he's coming down with his angels, with his mighty angels, see. And the reason why is, see, he's going to cleanse this earth that any people that are left over from the tribulation who are not believers and do not believe God, he's going to cleanse them. Because he's going to start his kingdom only with believers. And this is called the millennium, see. This is right after the tribulation. So here's what happens. He said, he's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two types of people on earth at this time. You see, there won't be any believers as far as we're concerned. All the believers that believe the gospel will be gone. That's the body of Christ will be gone. And there will be people left over. Now, there could be some who become a believer, and there will be probably a lot of them. But you see, there's two types of people. There will be Jews here, because one of the reasons the tribulation is on the Jews, see, because they had turned their back on Christ. They killed their Messiah, see, and they're going to go through this tribulation. And this has been known for years, thousands of years. Jacob knew that. They called this Jacob's trouble. He knew it was going to happen because of what they've done. They're turning their back on God many times. And they're going to have to go through this 7 years of tribulation. And it'd be all the people that were left behind, that all the people that didn't believe the gospel. And there's going to be tons of them, see. Tons of them. There's tons of so-called Christians today that don't believe the gospel for their salvation is going to be left behind. And if they live through this tribulation, which is horrible, I think the ones they're talking about, those that know not God, I think that's, he's talking about the Jews. Those who did not, still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you say. And also those who obey not the gospel. Who is that? That's the Gentiles, see. That's our salvation for us, see. Obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them? Who shall be punished. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Think about that. Think about that. Punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power because they did not know God and they did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean by obey the gospel? Well, see, Jesus gave Paul the gospel. We saw that in Galatians chapter 1:11. He didn't get this gospel from man. He wasn't taught it by man, but he got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if that's, you see, and so, and this gospel is what we're supposed to believe for salvation, see. And if we don't do it, we're not obeying God. We're not obeying Christ. And so, if we say, no, I just took Jesus as my Savior. Well, that's not the gospel, see. I take Jesus in my heart. That's not the gospel, you see. I just believe in Jesus for my salvation. He didn't point at himself. He pointed at what he did. And that was the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, see. And because of that, see, they're going to be totally lost. And this is for eternity. There's no saying, I'm sorry, I should have read the Bible. So no one has an excuse. It's here as plain as can be. I told my wife, if I had to pick one thing in this book to prove it is true, the easiest one is to prove the gospel's true. I mean, you'd have to be a blind idiot not to understand it. And I was for my whole life. I never, because I was blinded by Satan. But when I finally believed that, he opened my eyes, and it's just hard to even comprehend how a preacher could spend his whole life teaching everything but Paul's gospel when there's only salvation in here for the church. And that's who he's supposed to represent. So that truly, truly is scary, because there's no second chances when you get to the end. I mean, you've just blown it, you see. And there's going to be lots of people that do. Lots of people that do. Now, let's take a look at verse 10. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That's right there at the first of the millennium. He's going to come to be glorified in his saints. We'll be with him, see, and be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony, see. Our testimony, Paul's testimony among you was believed in that day. What was his testimony? The gospel. The gospel was believed, see, in that day. And that's why that they're there and with God, because they believe that testimony. So I'm going to kind of give you an idea. We're going to go, and this is a Bible study, so let's do it. Let's just go back and go through these books that are ahead of here and look at one testimony in each of his letters. So let's go to Romans and see one of Paul's testimony. And if you add them up, you know, it's hard to even comprehend how people could miss this. And this is just one. There's hundreds of them, but we're going to just take one. And so let's take one in the book of Romans right off the bat. And let's look at Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's Paul writing this. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, see, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Look at that testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is what? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. I'm not ashamed of that gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believe. It didn't say believe and be baptized. It didn't say believe in speaking in tongues. It didn't say believe in paying your tithe or joining a church or praying to Mary or praying to saints. It just said believe the gospel. What a testimony for salvation. What a testimony. That's Romans. Now we go, so let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're just going to pick out one, see. Just one of these in each of the books. And let's look at 1 Corinthians. And we'll just take one right off the front. Let's do 18. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, see, it is the power of God. So what's the power of God we just saw? It's salvation for those who believe, see. For those that believe the gospel, see. But to those who think the preaching of the cross is foolishness, they perish, see. But we, it says, who are saved, It is the power of God. Preaching the cross is the power of the God. And that's all Paul preached, was the cross. He pointed to Jesus on that cross for our salvation. And it's just hard to even comprehend. It is wonderful. And what a testimony. And there's tons of them here. There's still on this page here, just plenty. But we just can pull one. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 4, right up there at the front part of it. And what does it say? Verses 3. But if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. In other words, if you don't believe the gospel, you're lost. In whom the God of this age, who is that? Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Believe not what? The gospel. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What a verse. That tells you exactly what the problem is with the world. God, Satan, has got into our churches. And he's called ministers of righteousness in Romans chapter 11. And pointed everybody to believing in Jesus and not the gospel, see. And you see, they were blinded to the gospel. See, if Satan don't want us saved, he doesn't want us. He wants to blind us to the gospel. Because he doesn't want us saved. He wants everybody to go to hell. So he points to Jesus, see, for our salvation. It's not there. Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. And that was the gospel. Wow, I'm not going to get very far now, but that's okay. This is a Bible study, and we're just about where we're going to have to stop. So we're going to start in Galatians on this theme. So let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this time to study your word, and I just ask that you be with us and watch over us and just draw us closer to you each day. Amen.